And it's my joy and your joy for me to start a new series. And I just want to announce something that is going to make everybody shout. This is going to be a short series. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of faith in the house on that one. You've probably heard me say, because I've been teaching this for decades, and it's real simple. I really wanted to Lily to do me a poster, but I didn't get it to her ahead of time, but she does well with those. But it goes something like this, that when you approach the Word of God, when you go into the Word of God, you can't read it like a newspaper. You can't read it like a history book. You can't read it like an encyclopedia. Do you remember what those are? Some generations don't. Okay. But you see, it's your approach to the Lord that makes a difference with the Word. You can't approach this Bible like it's a newspaper. You're going to miss. And the heart of the Lord as the author of this book is for you to get to know the author. And so you got to approach this not with the brain. See, that's going to, don't turn off. I know there's people that, oh no, I ain't going there. But I want to tell you, if you listen long enough, it may be something you agree with and you probably need it. So stay with me on this. It's a heart approach to His Word. Because we're talking about a relationship. We're not talking about educational facts. Education's important. But there's too much in the body of Christ that's focused so much on education. Education's important, but we don't copy the world because we have a different motive, a different purpose. We have a different walk. And I want to tell you something. This is a book of wisdom. Heaven celebrates wisdom. The world celebrates education. And so there is a difference. And the world may not ever understand it. That's okay, but it's important for you to understand. You got to approach the Lord in His Word, seeking Him in the Word. And you got to have an open heart. I call it an open heart, where you humble yourself and say, Lord, I'm not coming to this with my education, with all that I don't know or do know. Lord, I'm coming to see You. I'm coming open-hearted. I want to see You in the Word. Open heart, open mind. Because I want to tell you, you may have been raised with some no's that God didn't put in there. One of the hard things about church life is that a lot of people have to unlearn before they can learn of Him. Because religion has a way of putting boxes around God. Religion has a way of chaining you down, saying what you'll never be. And I want to tell you, God wants you to approach Him with an open heart, open mind, and I always say an open hand. Because an open hand means that you're in surrender to Him. It's not this. And you're not holding on to something more important than God. You can't approach Him like that. It's got to be an open mind, open heart, open hand. And so with humility, and you know, you're saying in your heart, Lord, I want You. I desire You. It's not just for the brain. This Bible was written to your heart. It's a heart book. And that's why that we encourage people that when you go to the Word, you focus on Jesus and see Jesus in the Word. And one of the ways that we teach that is that you look for what He says. WHS. What He says. And you look for what He does. Look for His works and His words. You focus on His words. You focus on His works. And the Holy Spirit gets involved because He's our teacher. He wants to reveal Jesus to you. And if you approach, see, it's the right approach. It's the worthy approach. And you approach Him in the Word with humility and hunger for Him. Then you see what He does. You see what He says. And the Holy Spirit will reveal who He is. That's what we call revelation. And I have to qualify sometimes in some of the places I preach that Revelation, we're not talking about new doctrine, because they go, whoa. No, I'm not talking about new doctrine. I'm talking about seeing Jesus afresh. Seeing Jesus in the Word. Because the Holy Spirit will show you who He is in the Word. And the Holy Spirit loves to say to you, and you may hear Him say this to you today, what He is in the Word is who He is in here. And who He is in here is what He wants to be out here. And so it's so exciting. That's what we call revelation. So focus on God and His Word. We tell people, seek Him till you see Him. It's not as important how much mileage you get in the Word, but you're looking for the message. See Jesus. See, if you'll just take this approach, you'll be absolutely fascinated and amazed, and you'll be saying, wow, about how much the Holy Spirit will help you grow and how this Word of God will become alive to you. And not just letters on a page, but it'll be life to you. And that's what He wants us to do. The Holy Spirit is your helper in this. See Him on the inside. See the Lord on the inside. And then the Holy Spirit will help you see Him on the outside. And there's things that He'll do, like the ways of God. I don't have time to cover that. Whoa, I just did. About 8 sermons. But what He'll show you on the inside, He wants to make on the outside. And part of the way that He does that is for you speaking what He says. Man, we don't wait until there's victory to shout victory. That's not faith. The world operates that way. After somebody scores a touchdown, the world will cheer. What we do is that we see it in the mirror of the Word, and we see that, you know what? The Word says, I'm healed and not sick, so I'm not going to wait till everybody stops saying I'm sick. Don't call me that. When the Word says, I'm healed. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed that the enemy's trying to make sick. There's a little difference in that direction. And so your identity needs to be Jesus. And you know what? We don't wait until we feel good to celebrate being healed. But why? Because it's by faith. You say, that's a silly example. No, I'm living it. I get to practice it. And you know what? You do too. And the more you practice it on the inside, the more it'll be a part of your practice on the outside. Oh, boy, there's a lot there. Okay. His words, continually, inside and outside. Proverbs 4:21. Let His words, talking about His words, let them not depart from your sight. In other words, they need to be in a part of your life every day, all through the day, and even through the night. Now, I want to tell you that the Jews had a way of trying to practice this. They'd put Scripture in a little box, and they'd tape it on their forehead. No, I'm telling you. And I want to tell you, they were trying to, you know, well, I'm going to take the Word and keep it on my mind all day. Well, you can wear the box and not think about Jesus all day. But I want to tell you what He's saying here. Don't miss what He's saying, is that let His Word not depart from your sight. And you say, well, that's I got to work. I can't do that. Well, I tell you, it's amazing how you can drive and talk on the phone. It's amazing how you can drive and hold conversation with somebody else in the car. How do you do that? Well, you don't do it by closing your eyes. You do it by keeping your eyes focused on what's, you understand? And so don't tell me you can't focus on the Lord. I had a pastor try to tell me that a few years ago. Now he understands. But he challenged me and said, you can't think about the Lord all day long. That just impossible. You can't do that. And at the end of the day, I said, I'm going to do it today. And then today, he called me and said, did you do it? I said, yeah. And he said, I just don't believe that. You probably know who I'm talking about. But I asked them, I said, is it possible for you to worry all day? Yeah. Gotcha. It's possible for you to work and worry. It's possible for you to be at home on the couch and worry. It's possible for you to be at work and have your mind centered on Jesus, on the Word. You got me? Okay, so that helps me so we can move along. But keep them in the center of your heart. Let them be your center focus, like you're driving and conversing with someone in the car. Don't turn and close your eyes or focus and you see? Let the word be the center of your heart. And there's people, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, going to church and saying amen and going home, that's not enough. That's not enough. You got to embrace it. You got to take this word and you got to say, you know what, I may not understand it all. I don't know yet how to apply it, but this is what the word of God says. Holy Spirit, help me to embrace this. I want to make this real in my life. Give allegiance. I dare you, a double dog dare you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you how to apply it, because he loves to do that. Now, let me just say this, because there may be folk here, folk watching, listening. It'd be some pastors, I know, because I hear sometimes. And I love them. And they still talk to me, so that's good news. They think I'm a little cray-cray when it comes to this. Okay, they think I'm a little weird. You know, I go a little bit too far. I'll never forget one ball team that I was addressing. One of the guys stood up and said, hey, you're way out there, and that's too far, and you can miss. You messed up. You out there too far. Well, I want to tell you, that very person is leaning on me today. I'm getting to minister in their life. Now, so I want to tell you, you may think I'm out there too far, but you know what? I'd rather be called crazy and weird and out there too far and be well than to be so right and restricted and sick. Saying what God is not doing or what God won't do. There's a difference there. Okay. I may be a little radical on this, but I want to tell you, I'm probably sick a whole lot less than you are. Yeah, I take communion every day. I have pastors that look at me and say, that's not necessary. Well, it's not for you. But I'm loving the Lord with it. And Paul said, so you're going to correct Paul when you get to heaven. Paul said, many of you are weak. Many of you die early because you don't approach the communion in a worthy manner. I want to tell you, we miss because we don't approach the word in a worthy manner. Because there's life in this word. There's health and healing in this word. Are you going to stay with me so we get to see that? Okay. And so, radical believing manifests in radical results. Now, hey, let me lovingly speak, because I don't want to offend anybody. Sometimes the evangelist or the prophet in me wants to kind of shake and wake people. But let me just say this. You know, you may be sick continually because you may have a culture of sickness in your home. Well, it doesn't have to be that way. If you're going to be satisfied with that, then y'all going to just continue swap around some sickness or of some sort. God has a better way than that. Radical believing manifests in radical results. Well, I'd like to spend a little more time there. Somebody may say, I'm trying to get personal. No, I'm trying to help. You know what? I quit preaching to crowds many years ago. When the Lord told me that, you know what, you're not speaking to great crowd, you're speaking to individuals that have great needs. And so if this don't apply to you, peace be unto you. Sometimes when I preach out in other places and it's a Sunday night or whatever, the pastors will apologize ahead of time because the crowd's going to be down. I said, look, man, I'm blessed if anybody's there. And I want to tell you something. I believe that whoever's hearing the word, that's who the message is for. And so as Spurgeon used to say, if the hat fits, I pray thee wear it a bit. All right. So every time We break holy bread of God's word. It's a time that you can hear your spirit man yelling amen. And our soul has an opportunity to agree with that and feast on him. And if you do that enough, your body will be affected. Boy, there's some people here that know that better than they used to. The Holy Spirit, every time we break out the word, whether it's privately or publicly, he's imparting wisdom. And he's all about that. He wants to show you the way. And it's one thing to have a fact. It's another thing to have the way to apply it, or the way to walk in it. And we want Freedom Life Fellowship to be a church that's based on being in his word and his spirit, because it requires a combination. Remember, the Bible's not written to your brain, it's written to your heart, and it's the spirit that helps you see it in your heart. Let me say this. All spirit, no word. I preach in some of those places, you blow up. All word, no spirit. I preach in some of those places, you dry up. All word, all spirit, you grow up. Without a big list of do's and don'ts, without a bunch of flesh trying to make it happen, without any grunting on your part or works of flesh trying to make it happen, when there's all word, all spirit, his treasures revealed inside and out, his powers made known. Now, we got a little problem in the church here in the U.S. because we live in a time and a culture where there's a great appetite for dessert. Dessert only. And sometimes we have folk come to visit here, and we love all visitors. We could stand a few more of them this morning. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes they say, you know what, we're not in sermon shape. We're used to 20 minutes, and we're used to laughing a lot more, and we're used to it being funny, and, you know, wait. If you just have an appetite for dessert or sermonettes, grapeettes, they make Christianettes. Hey, if you're just looking for short and sweet and to be entertained, you're probably not at the right place, but you probably won't grow up that way with that kind of an appetite. I got to say this, and pastors that listen, you already know this from me. I'm not shocking you with this, but I don't believe the church is a place for entertainment. There's room in Christian life for entertainment, but church is not the place for entertainment. It's a place where you may have fun in the process, but I want to tell you, church is for him. It's to worship him. And please don't miss worship. I'm telling you, if you like worship, is our opportunity to honor him and celebrate him and bless him. Don't miss out on that. The word time is an opportunity for him to minister to us. Don't miss out on that. But the preaching and the testimonies and the singing and the baptisms, they're all to bring him honor and glory. And so it's important, and I tell pastors, and you know I'm going to say this, let's make it about him. Isn't that something to have to say? Let's make church about him. But I want to tell you, if this attitude and mindset of modern church where, you know, it's self-focused. What are you going to do for me today? How are you going to bless me today? What are you serving up today? How sweet, how funny is it going to be today? How short and sweet and entertained am I going to be today? I want to tell you that bless me mentality is dangerous. It's dangerous, it's danger. Danger, danger, Will Robinson, is danger. Because it produces a religious form of Christianity that denies the power of God. No power. And that equates, and boy, this is real important. Please catch this. This develops or equates to a religious people that are familiar with terminology. They know Christianese. And they know Bible facts. They know Bible verses. But it actually ends up, because it's a wrong approach, and it's a wrong appetite, and it's an unworthy approach to Jesus and the Word. It actually works like a vaccine. And it makes them immune to the real Jesus. They become immune to real transforming salvation, real transforming power inside out, real growth, real maturity. The hardest places I've ever preached were in Christian schools. Now, I've got to preach in all kind of places. And I want to tell you something. The hardest places I've ever preached in Christian schools. Why? Because they've heard it all. Over and over and over again. They've seen hypocrisy. Over and over and over. They've seen the fake. They've seen a lot of talk and no walk. They've seen the emphasis on rules and regulations and outward performances and not inward transformation. And they've become hardened in their hearts. Now, let me also say, religion produces zombies. I don't watch the zombie shows. Please don't. Don't watch a zombie show and then come pray for me because you can't sleep. I'm going to exhort you with a little correction. Hopefully with love. But let me tell you something. I saw a zombie on a commercial. All right. I recognized him from religion. Because they're a form of life without supernatural, abundant living that Jesus gives. Are you ready for some more word? I thought you would be. Proverbs 4:22. For they are life. The words of God and His word are life. Are you experiencing more life than death in your life? Are you more aware of manifestation of life or death? They're life to those who find them. You know what I'm going to say? It's not hidden from you. It's hidden for you. But when you seek Him with the right approach, somebody say right approach, then I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is revealing Jesus to you in the Word. And Jesus is life to you. And also, He's healing to you. What? Does that mean what it? Yes, He means what He says. I'm telling you, His Word is healing to you. His Word is health to all your flesh. Wait, it's just talking about spiritual life, Brother Tim? No. When it says all your flesh, it means every part of you. The Word of God is health to all your flesh. Now, I'm not so far out there that I'm the only one that believes this. Jonathan Edwards, great man of God of the past, this is something he used to say. The more I'm in His Word, the stronger my frame becomes. Now, this is way back there, and that old English word frame is a word that we would say body. He was saying that the longer I'm in the Word, the more I'm in the Word, the stronger my body becomes. He knew something about this. And Brother Tim, why are you preaching this? Because if you don't hear it, you're not going to believe it. You got to hear it to believe it. You got to believe it to receive it. But I want to tell you, when you take the right approach to the Word of God, we have an advantage of the world. I don't care how much medication, how many herbs, what all kind of programs they got. A Christian has an advantage because we have the power of the healing Word of God. He has sent His Word to heal. And I want to tell you, when you receive it, when you believe it, you receive it. If you doubt, you do without. So what side are you going to be on? Hey, I want to tell you, God's looking for believers. He loves it when you have faith. And so let's start believing. God's words were found in life and us, health. It's medicine to all your flesh. And it's medicine without side effects. It's just benefits. God's word brings refreshing freshness to life. Your spirit's already saying yes. Your soul gets to agree with it. Your body has to get in line. Just like Mr. and Miss Disciple on the road to Emmaus, they said, didn't our hearts just burn within us when He was showing us Himself in the Word? See, that's a picture for us. We're to look at the Word and see Jesus till our heart burns within us.
His word brings healing to all of our being. His word will heal your soul. His word will heal your flesh. Makes your spirit shout amen. Psalm 119:103. How sweet are your words to my taste. How long has it been since you've had a feast on the sweetness of the Lord in his word? Well, maybe we need to go a little longer. We need to practice a little more. Okay, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I want to tell you, you can develop an appetite for the Lord in the Word where that is actually more important to you than Blue Bell. It tastes better than Blue Bell. Better than honey to your mouth. Psalm 119:105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I want to tell you, that's wisdom there. I want to tell you, hey, his wisdom, you're in his word, you will hear him cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. That's in Proverbs 16. From being in his word, he will cause your thoughts to line up with his will. And you'll see it. There it is. And it's a lamp to your feet. And it's a light to your path. He will give you direction. Somebody say wisdom. You see, when God gave Solomon the gift of wisdom. Boy, if you read it just right, you see that he gave him a hearing heart. A hearing heart. You know what the hearing was? Hearing the words of Jesus. Hearing the words of God. He got to hear the words of direction so that he knew that he knew that he knew. There's a whole lot of people that I preach to wherever I go. They don't have a clue, a living clue about what God wants, what their purpose in life are, and what God wants with their life. I want to tell you, with wisdom, and all of us are granted wisdom to those who will receive it. If any man lacks wisdom, seek him. He gives to all men liberally, liberally, liberally is his desire to give you wisdom. And this Bible's a book of wisdom. And when you're seeing the Lord and hearing the Lord, and when you got saved, you got hearing ears to hear the Lord. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And so you can hear the Lord give you wisdom about your life. And you know what? You can follow it. And it'll be a light to your path. And look, Psalm 19:8, you don't have that one. You can just pencil that in. But your words causes my heart to rejoice. And so how's your temperature? Huh? How's your temperature? How's your temperature? Well, I want to tell you, your joy graph tells your testimony of your heart. How's your joy? How's your thanksgiving? Because I want to tell you something, and his word will cause your heart to rejoice in him. And so if you're missing out on some joy, wait a minute. Jesus said that personally, New Testament, to his disciples. He said, I've shared these words with you. I've told you these things that your joy might be complete. Is that just a small level? A small touch or a complete whole joy from him? Now, is the Lord teasing us or did he mean what he said? Is he a teaser or is he a truth teller for us? And he means what he says. So, Psalm 19:8, your words causes my heart to rejoice. Your words are pure and bright and lightning of the eyes. I want to tell you what his word will do. It'll cause your eyes to become light. Not only where you can recognize light, but other people can recognize light through your eyes. Wow. All right, Amos 9. Yeah, I got plenty of time. Amos 9, 13. This is out of the Message Bible. You know I like the Message Bible. Yes, indeed, it won't be long. God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. I just love this. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. Everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. We call them waterfalls. I want to tell you what heaven calls them, wine falls. Because those wine falls are exuberant life, intoxicating life to you.
And see, some of you think, well, man, I've been through such a barren time. I've been through a dry time. I've been through a time where I haven't seen much happening. I'm just announcing to you, this is God's will. And I want to tell you, when you keep your heart in His Word and receiving of His Spirit, then God's the one that causes these seasons to come to pass. You don't make it happen. You just receive them when they come. But it's possible for you to miss them if you're not in the receiving mode. The Word of God causes you to be in the receiving mode. I want to tell you, we got this to look forward to. Does that excite you? Does that make you want to stay in the Word and stay responsive to His Spirit? Well, great, because that's why I'm preaching this message. So it's great blessings, this Word and Spirit. We rest in Him. Rest in Him means to come to peace and believe in Him. It's spiritual rest. Sometimes it's physical rest, too. It's a combo. But I want to tell you, when you rest in Him, and sometimes He calls you to physical and spiritual rest, when you rest in believing in Him, that peace brings divine performance. I don't think that landed. I'm going to say it another way. When you rest in Him, He accelerates your life. How's that? You're resting, He's accelerating. I'm telling you, that's beautiful to me. So, let me encourage you. I got just a couple minutes, so catch this part. Be sure that in your approach of the Lord that you practice being. Being. I know a lot of church life focuses on doing. It's more important that you be. If you practice being with Him, you will do. Because love will do. We don't do to get love, we do because we are loved. There's a big difference. It's a love expression when we do. It's not to get loved or to be celebrated. No, no, we're honoring Him. But the being is more important than the doing. And so practice being with the Lord. What do you mean by that, Brother Tim? Enjoy the Lord today. There's nothing more important that you can do before you enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the Lord today. You know, that's what He created you for. That's what He wants. It's amazing what all He can do if we practice enjoying being with Him. That's one of our descriptions of love life. Do you love the Lord? Are you loving the Lord today? Well, if you're loving the Lord today, you're enjoying being with Him. And so practice being with Him. Be where you are in the moment. I'm not trying to move you, but you know there's possible to be in a church service and already be at lunch. Well, if you're already at lunch, you're missing the right now. You might be missing the steak that Jesus is giving, thinking about dessert somewhere else. Don't do that. I want to tell you it's important. This is an important little principle. Be where you are in the moment. And I want to tell you what that is, the right now with Jesus. And even if you have a plumbing leak at your house, you can enjoy Jesus. Okay? Even if you have a commode in the pool room, you can enjoy Jesus. I honor the beautiful blonde because she's there. She wasn't there immediately, but she got there real quick. Hey, listen, don't miss what I'm saying. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time of favor. Now is present tense. He wants you to recognize Him. He wants you to receive Him. He wants you to respond to Him in the present tense. He is your God of the past. He is your God of the future. But God is a right now, very present help in the time of your need. You remember when Martha complained to Jesus, if you'd have been here, boy, have we ever pulled that one. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Well, Lazarus died. And she was implying that, Jesus, you were late to this one. Come on, you know that comes up. You know what Jesus answered? I am. I'm the present resurrection. I'm the present life. The I am is how Jesus introduced Himself to Moses at the burning bush. I am that I am. And so I'm just telling you, let's catch this, and it'll change your Christian lifestyle to life. Let's live every day in the moment, conscious of His presence and His love. Live it today for the honor and glory of God. Be present and be aware that Jesus, your Savior, is with you every single moment. And He's a very present help right now for you. Somebody give Him praise. Now, that little verse we shared out of Amos, I'm going to touch on next week, because it's a picture that our latter harvest will be greater than the former. I don't know what all the Lord's done with you in the past. I don't know what all you've seen the Lord do in the past. But I want to tell you, with the very present Lord right now in your life, right now in your tomorrow, I want to tell you something. Your latter harvest can be greater than your former. Do we have a lot to look forward to in Jesus? I want to tell you, your approach makes a difference. So let's approach Him with hunger and humility and seeking, listening, looking for Him. Seek Him till you see Him. And it's amazing what all He can do when our focus and our center is Jesus. I'm praying for you right now. Father, thank you so much. We honor you, we bless you, we praise you, we celebrate you because you're the giver of life. Thank you, Lord, that you paid the price on the cross for us to have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you paid the same price for us to have abundant life right here, right now. Lord Jesus, I am decreeing that our eyes are open and our ears are open to see you and hear you. And respond to you. Lord Jesus, we receive all that you have for us. We're hungry for you. We want our life to bring you honor and glory. And all the people said, amen. Amen and amen. Let's give God praise.